Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of James. The book of James. Christianity and blue jeans. I got my blue jeans on. All right? I love it. I was telling somebody in the back, this is comfortable, and I tell you what, this may stick. I mean, this is good. Let me say this. I didn't mean to not have the budget information, but I didn't have the sheet in front of me, and the committee's worked so hard to get this ready. It's a 7.2% increase, and if you'll get this sheet on your way out, I think you'll really enjoy reading it, because it talks about our total home and world missions, talks about the mission projects of our church, and these are some things that we're doing that really make an impact. Talks about our adult ministry, talks about our ministry to preschool, children, youth, college, and adults, and our properties and facilities, staff budget there. All these kinds of things are in there explained, and I think you'll enjoy looking at that. Also, while you're finding James chapter 5, I wanted to let you know that Brother Mike Weldon and Pam, you know Mike and Pam Weldon, and also Haley and Andy in our fellowship, Mike's dad passed away, Mr. Bill Weldon. We will have the service here tomorrow at 11 with a 10 o'clock visitation for Mr. Bill Weldon. So I wanted you to be aware of that. All right. I want to read our text today. This is James chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 7 and go through verse 12. We're almost finished. We won't quite get it done this year because we're going to be talking about Christmas coming in the next few weeks, but that's okay. This is a great, great text of Scripture, and the book of James has been very powerful in our lives. This is James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You should also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Well, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, we live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us online are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups. We did that this morning. And one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Now, we sang about the joy that we are to have, and we cannot be quiet about it. We are to live joyfully. Well, how are we to do that? We know that life is made up of tribulation. We know that life is made up of difficulty, and yet we live joyfully. How do we do that? Well, we learn patience. The title, the message of this passage of Scripture is that if you are going to be a Christian in blue jeans, now what do we mean by that? In other words, get out of the crib, get out of the diapers, and put on your blue jeans. Grow up. That's the idea of Christianity in blue jeans. We are to grow up. Then we must learn patience. How do you live joyfully and yet still realize that there are difficulties, there are trials that we face? In John chapter 16, the Scripture says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," this was Jesus speaking, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Now, I had some tribulation yesterday during that ball game. I was wanting us to win that ball game, okay? But as usual, the Gators don't let me, they don't let me off the hook until the very end, okay? But anyway, we won that ball game. But Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation." I don't think he was talking about that kind of tribulation to you, but anyway. But he said this: "Listen, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, are we of good cheer because we don't have tribulation? No, because we know that tribulation comes upon the just and the unjust. Any Bible teacher that ever tells you that if you really love Jesus, you won't have any problems, they're not worth their weight in salt. Chuck them. Don't turn on that television program. Now, what we can say is that we can be of good cheer even in the midst of the tribulation. Amen, church? We can, because Jesus has overcome the world. And that's what this passage is about. Do you know people that they're just wrought up about everything? I think that what was happening here is we just talked about those that were being unjust to the poor in the beginning of chapter 5, the rich. Remember, we were talking about the rich and how they should weep and howl because riches can't always predict what it's going to come out like, and you think that, boy, if I just had that, I'm going to be happy, and then we realize that's not true. If you put your faith and trust in riches, you're going to be disappointed. Well, it talks about those that were mistreating others. They were not paying a fair wage. They were not doing all these things. And so how do they respond? Well, in our passage, he says in verse 7, "Therefore, be patient, brethren." All right? He says, "Be patient, brethren." Now, we do not expect to have everything easy and comfortable in this present life. Paul reminded his converts that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We must patiently endure hardships and heartaches until Jesus returns. But here's what the Scripture says in our text: "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." The coming of the Lord, knowing that Christ is coming. We've already learned that life is but a vapor. Life is like boiling water. It causes steam, and then all of a sudden the steam is gone. That's how fast this life goes by. So sometimes we endure temptation in this life. We endure pressure in this life. We endure tribulation in this life, and yet we know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. The Scripture teaches we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. And so the Lord will give us cheer. We can have joy even in the midst of the difficulties that we face. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." So we have cheer and joy in the midst of our suffering and difficulty right now. It allows us to have patience and endurance and perseverance right now. But one of the things is that even in the midst of that, we know that one day even all of that will be over when the Lord returns, all right? Listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, church family, the brutal truth is that sometimes when you give your life to Jesus and you take your stand for Jesus, you will not always be understood, and it may cause pressure. You do know there are people in the world today that are not worshiping freely like we are. You do know that, don't you? We know that this is such an incredible privilege. We can come into this building and we can worship. We could stay till 2 or 3 this afternoon. Hey, why don't we just do it? Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But we could. We could. I remember one of our presidents of the International Mission Board went into an undisclosed location where the people were persecuted for their faith, and there was a gathering there, and he spoke on a book of the Bible, and he did chapter 1 for one whole hour, and then he was done, and the people didn't move. They said, keep going. He said, well, okay, and he got to the next page, and he did another hour, and the people didn't move. And they said, just keep going. And as a result, they started, they brought it back to the U.S., and they started calling it secret church. Because in some places in the world, they're having secret church where they can't gather as freely, but when they do gather, they don't come in for a little quick meeting, man. They come and they stay. Why? Because it's so precious. But we have that freedom. But you do know there are people that are suffering today for the claims of Christ. And so here's the thing. We consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So you remember how that in the book of James, we've talked about all these imperatives, all of these commands. James didn't fool around. He said, do this, do that. He was not very tact. He didn't have a lot of tact with the way he said it. Well, there's all kind of commands just in these few verses that we're reading. The first one is the phrase, be patient. So I have five things quickly that I want to share with you before we get into the Lord's Supper. Here it is. Number one, be patient. We must wait for a spiritual harvest. Now, I want you to note, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Part of patience is waiting. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. I want you to notice there in verse 7, it says, be patient, brethren. Do you remember last week when we were studying verses 1 through 6, he didn't use the word brethren. In a lot of these passages that we've studied, he starts them off by saying, do this, brethren. It's very clear that he's speaking to believers. Now, it doesn't mean that chapter 5, verses 1 is not speaking to believers, but it is interesting that he does not say brethren when he talks about the rich. Some believe that he's speaking to just the rich of the world that have not put their faith and trust in Christ, and they just think their riches are going to meet all their needs. He says, you should weep and howl. But here he comes to verse 7. He's very much talking to believers. He says, I'm giving you a command. James doesn't fool around. He says, be patient. Now, J.B. Lightfoot, who gave us a great translation of the New Testament, he was a Greek scholar. We have that in our library, the Lightfoot New Testament. He describes this as using self-restraint so as to not get even. Be patient. You don't have to get even. He says, be patient. It usually describes patience toward people, not things. In other words, it means to be long-tempered. Listen, sometimes there are people in the world, and we're tempted to do this. When someone does anything to wrong us, we will not be happy until we solve it and we make them pay. Well, Or we have a difficulty and we think, you know, I've got to have that spiritual harvest right now. I've got to see the fruit of what I'm doing right now. Be patient. Don't feel like you've got to take care of that situation. There's a story about a missionary who went to Irian Jaya, and he had he was a missionary. His name was Otto Koning, and Otto, he tells a story in what they call the pineapple story. I think we have that in our library too. The pineapple story is about this missionary, and he planted these pineapples, and in that culture, people just took from one another. He noticed when the people from that nation, when they came over to his house, when they left, things were missing. Well, it's kind of part of their culture that was there. If you saw something you wanted, you just took it. Well, he became bitter. This missionary became bitter, and he planted these pineapples, and they would get so ripe, and he loved pineapples, and he was just about to harvest those pineapples, and right before they were ready to harvest, they would all be gone. The people would take them. He got so bitter, and he was preaching away at the people, and yet he was not patient. He was bitter towards them, and he finally realized, Lord, I need to give those pineapples to you. I'm not doing too well with them myself, so Lord, I give you all my pineapples. And he, just as an act of the will, said, Lord, I'm going to preach with joy and cheerfulness about the gospel of Jesus, calling people to repent. And Lord, whatever happens to these pineapples, I just give them to you. Well, the people came to him and they said, we think you have become a Christian. And they said, we want to be Christians. You know, sometimes, folks, James is saying to us, we need to be patient because we must wait for spiritual fruit. It says in verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And then it gives this illustration. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rains. The early rains came in October and November in this part of the world, soon after the grain was sown, and then the latter rain came in April and May. And if you're a farmer, I'm not a very good gardener, but I've tried to do some gardening. Man, just the patience you've got to have. You just got to let nature take its course. Well, he's saying in the same way, listen, you also be patient. You may not see the spiritual fruit you think you're going to see right then. Quit taking it on yourself. Let God do his work. Be patient. And he was even saying to these that were in any way being mistreated, they said, look, be patient, because the Lord is the judge and the Lord is going to make things right. It says the coming of the Lord is near. Okay? Look at verse 8. It says, you also be patient. That's the same word. Then it says, establish your hearts. That word means to be strong in the inner man. It has the idea of providing solid support, of enabling the person to stand unmoved by trouble. So you are to establish your heart. So church family, when we have difficulty and pressure, we need to back up and say, wait a minute, Lord, help me to establish my heart so that when trouble comes, it doesn't move me around. It doesn't overwhelm me. I can have patience. Do you know that in 1 Thessalonians, Paul sent Timothy to a church to establish them? That's one reason you need a church. We encourage one another. We help one another establish our hearts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says this, and he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. So Paul was saying, we sent Timothy to establish you. Church family, that's one reason we need a church family, because we help establish one another. We help encourage one another to be patient in difficulty, all right? So the first thing is we're to be patient. We must wait for a spiritual harvest. Here's number two. Do not strive to get even. The Lord will judge those who harm you. Look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren. By the way, the word grumble there means to sigh or to groan. It's really not an outward grumbling. It's an inward grumbling. It's like when somebody's coming that you have an ought against, and your blood pressure just rises. Doesn't mean you said anything. They didn't say anything to you, but it has the idea to sigh. You go, oh, okay? It's an inward stress rather than an outward complaint, okay? What is forbidden is the unexpressed feeling of bitterness or the smothered resentment that may express itself in a groan or a sigh, according to verdict from the expositor's Greek commentary. He says that. So we are to realize in verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. In other words, the coming of the Lord is at hand. The judge of it all is coming. By the way, you do know this, don't you, that the Lord is going to make all things right. So the Lord is going to solve all these things you're wrought up about. He's going to solve them. And he's going to solve them a million times better than you can solve them. Boy, I sure am glad the Lord is my judge and not you. Guess what? You ought to be glad that I'm not your judge. But the Lord is the judge. So therefore, we do not strive to get even, because the Lord will judge those who harm you. He is going to solve it. He is going to do it. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. I'm going to talk about the patience of the Lord here in just a minute. Here's the third thing quickly. Learn from the prophets. Stand on the word even when it's hard. Look at verse 10. Verse 9 was dealing with striving to get even, because the Lord will judge those who harm you. But verse 10 is talking about learning from the prophets, and this is a command. Matter of fact, in verse 10 it says, my brethren, take. The word take as an example is the command. Church, look at the prophets. That's a command from James and from the Lord. He says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Now, they did not run from their responsibility, did they? Even when it meant suffering, they did not run. And just take the life of Jeremiah. The scripture says in Jeremiah 20, verse 2, that they struck Jeremiah the prophet, and they put him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And in Jeremiah 32, verse 2, the Bible says, for the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. In chapter 38, verse 6, it says, so they took Jeremiah and they cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Here's Jeremiah, a prophet. We are to use this as an example. We are to be patient. Ultimately, God is going to rectify all these injustices, even if we're mistreated. You get that? If we're mistreated, God is going to rectify these injustices. And he says, I want you to look at the prophets. Do you realize that they faithfully proclaimed my word, and in many cases they were imprisoned. They were in difficult circumstances. So we learn from the prophets. We stand on the word even when it's hard. Dr. Wiersbe says this, those prophets were in the will of God, and God was with them and cares for them. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. You say, well, I've got a hard assignment. If I say this, if I share this, if I stand on the word of God in this way, it's going to bring difficulty. Well, guess what? There are many, many that have gone before you that have done that. So you look to the prophets. Be patient. Hang in there. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The judge is at the door. And so the first thing, we're to be patient. We must wait for spiritual harvest. The second thing, do not strive to get even. The Lord will judge those who harm you. Number three, learn from the prophets. Stand on the word even when it's hard. Here's the fourth thing quickly. Learn from Job. Trust God completely. In verse 11, James talks about Job. He says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Now, I want to point something out. He's using the word patience all during this time. It's like patience with people. But in verse 11, it changes. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. The word endurance is different. It's the word that means to get under a load. Sometimes you feel like you're under a load. You're just under a heavy weight. He says, those who endure, you have heard of the perseverance, same word. So it kind of shifts that word patience, which is saying, you know, don't try to get even and be long-suffering. It's like having a long fuse with people, okay? So there's two kinds of patience talked about in this text. One is to have a long fuse with people. Have a long fuse with people. That's not easy to do sometimes. But the second one is to be able to endure difficulty in circumstances. And he gives Job as an illustration. He says in the text, the example, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. All right? So we know that Job said this, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. I will defend my own ways before him. I think that James had chapter 1, verse 12 in mind. Go back two pages in your Bible. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. These are outside circumstances that are coming against him. Blessed is the man who endures, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. He probably had that text in mind. Now, it's interesting, we think about Job. He says, yet if you slay me, I will trust you. But Job, we always talk about the patience of Job. Job, it's not that Job didn't reason with God or even contend with God about it. Now, he always trusted him. The Bible teaches that. He always trusted him in the midst of it, but he asked him about it. In Job chapter 13, verse 3, he said, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. So you say, you know, I'm in a difficult circumstance. Well, talk to God about it. You can talk to the Lord about that, and he did, all right? But ultimately, Job says this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. We see that in the text. And what ends up happening? Well, look in our scripture in verse 11. It says at the very end, the perseverance of Job and seeing the end intended by the Lord. Well, what happened in Job 42? God gave him twice as much as he had before. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get twice as much as you had before, but ultimately, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And ultimately, things will be made right. And so we are to look at the life of Job. We are to trust God completely. Dr. Wiersbe says this, when you find yourself in the fire, remember that God keeps his gracious hand on the thermostat. In other words, he knows It says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, Job said in chapter 23 and verse 10. And so we are to learn patience. Church family, if we're going to get on our blue jeans, if we're going to grow up, if we're going to mature, we've got to let God be the judge. We've got to live a life of patience and endurance with long suffering towards others. The very last thing is keep your word. Don't make promises in suffering. Verse 12 is an interesting verse, kind of tucked right into this passage, because the next passage we're going to talk about prayer. The passage in verses 7 through 11, we were talking intently about patience, and all of a sudden there's this verse stuck in here about oaths. In verse 12, he says, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. The commentators have pointed out that many times in suffering, we make promises. Oh God, if you get me out of this, then I'll serve you. You ever been there? You ever thought about that? God, if you'll get me out of this, then I'll serve you. He's basically saying, don't live that way. You should let your yes be yes and your no, no. As a matter of fact, talking about Job, in Job chapter 1, at the end of that text in verse 22, it says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In other words, even in the midst of saying, I want to talk to the Lord about it, he was talking to the Lord, but he was not making all of these oaths and promises. You know, Peter got himself in trouble. You remember when Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times? And you remember that Peter was there by the fire when Jesus was before the Sanhedrin and he was on trial, and a little girl came out there and said, weren't you one of his disciples? He says, oh no, I was not. The second time, notice this, the second time in Matthew 26, verse 71, it says, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And verse 72 says, but again, he denied it with an oath. He denied it with an oath. He said, I do not know the man. The third time, the Bible says he swore. He used profanity, and he said, I do not know this man. Well, the truth is, if you have to use an oath to show your Christian character, you probably are deficient in Christian character. The true Christian character requires few words. Peter, who was not following the Lord at that time, he swore with an oath. And so I think that the lesson here is this. In suffering, don't make promises during suffering. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. I think there's a general truth here as well. Regardless of the suffering, we should let our yes be yes and our no, no. Our no be no. So the truth of the matter is that we are to learn patience.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.